Tonight, we are in the Old Testament, in the first book of the Bible, in Genesis.
Esta noche estamos en el Antiguo Testamento, el primer libro de la Biblia.
And we are talking about Abraham.
Y estamos hablando de Abraham.
Father Abraham.
El padre Abraham.
And before we read our story,
y antes de leer nuestra historia,
what you need to know before we read our story,
lo que tienen que saber antes de leer nuestra historia,
know that Abraham is a very old man. He's about 100 years old in our story today.
Es que sepan que Abraham es un hombre muy viejo, ya tiene unos 100 años en nuestra historia.
And Abraham and his wife, who are very old, for the longest time, for the first 75 years of their life, they could not have children.
Y Abraham y su esposa, que ya son bien viejitos, por los primeros 75 años de su vida, no pudieron tener hijos.
Until finally, because God promised them a son at some point,
hasta que finalmente Dios les prometió un hijo en algún punto,
finally, God blesses them with a son.
Finalmente, Dios los bendice con un hijo.
And now, this is where we pick up the story.
Y ahora aquí es donde nos encontramos en nuestra historia.
We don't know how old Isaac, Abraham's son, that's his name, Isaac. We don't know how old he is.
No sabemos cuántos años tiene Isaac, el hijo de Abraham.
But he's old enough to walk and talk. I'm guessing here, don't quote me.
Lo que sabemos es que es más grande, está grande para poder caminar, puede hablar.
He's about the high school age, all right? Somewhere in there.
Yo voy a estimar, es solamente un estimado que está en las edades de la prepa.
So this is where we pick up the story in Genesis chapter 22.
Y aquí es donde encontramos nuestra historia en Génesis 22.
Sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on the mountain I will show you. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and loaded his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. For on the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. When they had reached the place God had told them about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, Abraham, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Do not lay a hand on the boy, he said. Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God, because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son. Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket was a ram caught by its horns. He went over, took the ram, and sacrificed it as a burnt offering instead of his son.
Dice esta historia, Génesis 22. Pasando cierto tiempo, Dios puso a prueba a Abraham. Abraham, aquí estoy, respondió. Yo, Dios, ordeno, toma a tu hijo Isaac, el único que tienes, y al que tanto amas, y ve a la región de Moria. Una vez ahí, ofrécelo como holocausto en el monte que yo te indicaré. Abraham se levantó de madrugada y ensilló su asno. También cortó leña para el holocausto y junto con dos de sus criados y su hijo Isaac se encaminó hacia el lugar que Dios había indicado. Al tercer día, Abraham alzó los ojos y a lo lejos vio el lugar. Entonces dijo a sus criados, quédense aquí con el asno. El muchacho y yo seguiremos adelante para adorar a Dios y luego regresaremos junto a ustedes. Cuando llegaron al lugar señalado por Dios, Abraham construyó un altar y preparó la leña. Después ató a su hijo Isaac y lo puso sobre el altar encima de la leña. Entonces tomó el cuchillo para sacrificar a su hijo. Pero en ese momento el ángel del Señor le gritó desde el cielo, Abraham, Abraham, aquí estoy, respondió. No pongas tu mano sobre el muchacho ni le hagas ningún daño, dijo el ángel. Ahora sé que temes a Dios porque ni siquiera te has negado a darme a tu único hijo. Abraham alzó la vista y en un matorral vio un carnero enredado por los cuernos. Fue entonces tomó el carnero y lo ofreció como holocausto en lugar de su hijo.
So tonight,
Entonces, esta noche,
because the Bible says that God tested Abraham with this.
Porque la Biblia dice que Dios puso a prueba a Abraham por, con esto.
I'm speaking from the title Finals Week.
Hablando del tema exámenes fin, semana de exámenes finales.
Because Abraham went through a number of tests with God.
Porque Abraham pasó por diferentes pruebas con Dios.
But this was his final test. This was his final exam.
Pero esta era su última prueba, su examen final.
So let's go ahead and pray this stupid fly.
Vamos a orar. Hay una mosca.
Let's pray. God, I pray that you would kill that fly. And God, I pray that you would help us on our final exam. Amen.
Amen. We love animals, guys. Just
guys,
so you know.
If the prayer works and the fly dies, let me know, okay? I just want to... So, story time.
Una historia.
When I was in California, when I was a youth pastor,
cuando estaba yo en California, era pastor de jóvenes.
There was this guy. He was probably in his 40s. He was new to church.
Había un hombre, estaba probablemente en sus 40s, estaba nuevo a la, era nuevo a la iglesia.
He was new to church, but
era nuevo a la iglesia, pero
he was on fire for God, right? Like, he loved God. He was going all in. He was getting involved, everything.
Pero él estaba bien prendido por Dios, estaba bien involucrado, estaba emocionado, estaba en todo.
And after about a year, right, of him serving at our church,
y después de un año de él estar, estando sirviendo en nuestra iglesia,
he talked to our head pastor. He's like, Pastor, I want to become a licensed minister. How do I do that?
Él habla con nuestro pastor y le pregunta, Pastor, yo quiero serme un ministro licenciado.
And the first question my pastor asked him was like, okay, cool, but why do you want to become a pastor? What's your motive behind it, you know?
Y el pastor dice, okay, pero ¿por qué quieres ser tu pastor? ¿Cuál es tu motivo?
And the guy said, well, obviously, I love God, and I want to be able to preach. I want to be able to preach God's word. I want to be able to speak.
Y el hombre dijo, pues, yo amo a Dios, y quiero, yo quiero poder predicar la palabra de Dios.
Which isn't a wrong answer, right? That's a good intention to have, right? To want to preach the gospel.
Que no es una mala respuesta, es buena intención querer predicar el evangelio.
But after more conversation, my pastor, my head pastor concluded,
pero después de más conversación, mi pastor titular vino a la conclusión.
That basically he had to tell this guy that, yes, it's cool that you want to be a pastor, but let's pump the brakes a little bit.
Le dijo, sí, está padre que tú quieres ser un pastor, pero vamos a detenernos un poco.
Because it sounds like you're more interested in speaking than you are at wanting to be a pastor.
Porque se suena como que estás más interesado en predicar que ser un pastor.
Which is correct in terms of preaching, speaking, getting to do what I'm doing right now. That's an aspect. It's a part. It's an expression of ministry. It's an expression of pastoring.
Que sí, el predicar, el estar haciendo lo que yo estoy haciendo ahora arriba, es una expresión de ser un pastor. Es un aspecto del ministerio.
But there's way more to pastoring and ministry than preaching on stage or leading a small group or doing Sunday school.
Pero hay mucho más en ser un, que se toma ser un pastor que nomás predicar o tener un grupo pequeño o dirigir una clase de escuela dominical.
There's a lot of work behind the scenes. There's a lot of there's so much more. This is just a small fraction of what it is to be in ministry.
Hay mucho más detrás de la escena. Esto solamente es una parte pequeña de lo que se trata de estar en ministerio.
It's an important aspect of ministry, but it's not the only aspect, right? It's not the full definition of what ministry is.
Es una parte del ministerio, pero no es la definición completa de ser pastor, de estar en el ministerio.
Like if you were to think of a pastor, right? If you were to put an image to the word, you would draw somebody on a stage preaching the word, right? That's normally the image that you think of in your mind.
Pero si tú piensas y dibujas una imagen de un pastor, a lo mejor dibujaríamos a un pastor en una plataforma, predicando porque es la imagen que viene a nuestra mente.
And the same thing would probably happen. You'd probably think of another image if I were to say the word worship.
Y a lo mejor ustedes tendrían una imagen similar si les digo la palabra adorar.
Right, when I say the word worship, normally you think of the band, you think of yourself sitting where you're sitting, singing along with the band, raising your hand, singing some songs.
Cuando hablo de la adoración, a lo mejor ustedes piensan de la banda, los que tocan, cantando unas canciones.
Right, when you think of worship, you think of singing along to Hillsong, Elevate, well, I don't know about Hillsong anymore, but Elevation, right?
Cuando hablamos de la adoración, pensamos en cantar con Hillsong, con Elevation.
Right, you think of yourself worshiping God with your eyes closed, your arms raised in church, and you're singing along with other people that also love God.
Te imaginas a ti mismo en la iglesia, alabando, levantando tus manos, cantando a Dios con otra gente que también está haciendo lo mismo.
And that's what makes our faith, Christianity, so unique, right? We are one of the only religions.
Y es lo que hace nuestra fe, el cristianismo, único. Somos uno de los... somos una de las únicas religiones
that sing songs every service.
Que canta canciones cada servicio.
Right? Muslims, they don't worship, they don't sing songs.
Los musulmanes no cantan, ellos no adoran.
Buddhists, they may have chants, but they don't sing songs every service.
Los budistas a lo mejor dicen cosas, pero no tienen canciones cada servicio.
Right, you go down the line of the world's religions, and we are one of the only religions that always consistently sing songs in church every service.
Nosotros somos uno de los únicos únicas religiones que canta canciones cada servicio.
Right, if you have perfect attendance at church 52 weeks of the year, right, every service we're going to sing a song or two, no matter what kind of service it is.
Si tú tienes una asistencia perfecta de venir a la iglesia cada servicio que tú vienes, siempre vamos a cantar canciones.
And it's a good thing, right? God commands us. If you didn't know, God commands us to sing songs to him.
Y es una cosa buena, Dios nos ordena de cantar cánticos a él.
It doesn't matter if you're off key, if you're on key, if you're around the key, you're commanded to sing songs to him.
No importa si estás entonado o no estás entonado, estás alrededor del tono, estamos ordenados a cantar.
Right? There are over 400 scriptures about worship and about singing praise to God, not as a suggestion, as a commandment.
Hay más de 400 versículos en la Biblia que nos hablan de cantar a Dios, no como una sugerencia, sino como una orden.
The longest book in the Bible, Psalms, right? It's a collection. All that book is a collection of songs and poems to God.
El libro más largo de la Biblia, el Salmos, es un libro que está compuesto de canciones y poemas a Dios.
So I'm not minimizing that worship, yes, is singing songs, is singing praise to God.
Entonces no estoy minimizando que sí, la adoración es cantar canciones a Dios.
But what I want us to understand, point number one, make
pero
sure
lo que
you write
quiero
this down.
Que entendamos, punto número uno, escríbanlo.
You have to understand that singing songs is an expression of worship, but it's not the full definition.
El cantar canciones es una expresión de la adoración, pero no es la definición completa.
It's not the full definition.
No es la definición completa.
And the reason why
y la razón por esto
is because singing a song doesn't place a demand on your life or on my life.
Porque el cantar canciones no pone una demanda, una orden sobre nuestras vidas.
Right, it doesn't. Singing a song for me to God in church, it's easy. It's not an issue for me. It's not that much of a sacrifice for me.
Cantar cánticos a Dios en un culto a lo mejor no trae tanto sacrificio para mí.
Right, and it may not be that much of a sacrifice to you.
Y a lo mejor no es tanto sacrificio para ti.
Singing songs is a form. It's an aspect of worship. It's an expression of worship, but it's not the full definition.
El cantar cánticos a Dios es una forma, una expresión de la adoración, pero no es la definición completa.
It doesn't require sacrifice for you to sing along with the band, right? It doesn't require sacrifice for you.
No requiere sacrificio para tú poder cantar junto con la banda.
Right? So if worship, if singing songs is not the full definition of worship, if it's only a part of it, just like speaking is only a part of pastoring.
Entonces, el cantar cánticos no es lo que es completamente adoración, es solamente una parte de ello, así como el predicar es parte del pastoreo.
So the question that we need to ask ourselves, that we need to answer.
Entonces, la pregunta que nos tenemos que hacer, que tenemos que contestar.
So what is it that you do when worshiping God is not singing, when God asks you to worship him, but he's not asking you to sing any louder?
¿Qué hacemos cuando Dios nos pide adorarlo y traerle adoración, pero no quiere que cantemos?
When the worship God wants doesn't involve you singing, what do we do?
Cuando la adoración que Dios quiere de parte de ti no involucra el cantar, ¿qué hacemos?
When God's saying, yes, it's cool that you sing on Sunday, kind of worshiping me there, but I really want you to worship me with your life Monday through Saturday.
Cuando Dios dice, sí, está padre que tú me cantas canciones los domingos, pero realmente yo quiero que tú me adores con tu vida de lunes a viernes.
Right, and I feel, I would dare to say, and I'm including myself in this at times.
Yo me atrevo a decir, y hasta me incluyo a mí mismo en esto.
That there are a lot of people.
Que hay mucha gente.
That basically just sing Christian karaoke in here on service, but then the other moments of the week, they're not really worshiping God with how they live.
Que cantan a lo mejor canciones aquí en la iglesia los domingos, pero no realmente adoran a Dios con sus vidas el resto de la semana.
And I'm not talking about you're out there living and you're out there doing all these horrible sins and you're out there doing drugs and going to party, like the typical sins. I'm not saying that, right? But how you make decisions, the connections that you make, how you carry yourself, how you interact with your family.
Y no estoy hablando de pecados así tan grandes, en extremos enormes que pensamos durante la semana, pero también involucra tus decisiones, cómo está tu vida, cómo tratas a las personas a tu alrededor, tu familia, tus amigos.
The drama that you create, or maybe the drama that you involve yourself in, right? Is it really worshiping God?
El drama que tú a lo mejor crees o el drama en el cual estás tú involucrado, ¿realmente estás adorando a Dios?
And I would venture to say that worshiping God doesn't just involve you singing.
Y hasta digo que el adorar a Dios no solamente incluye que tú le cantes.
Worship often involves you giving to God what you hold so tightly, so closely to your heart.
La adoración es también poder tú darle a Dios lo que a lo mejor tú agarras o tienes tan cerca de tu corazón.
What is it that you hold closely to your heart? What is it that you have a firm grasp on? Was it your dreams, a relationship, a job?
¿Cuál es la cosa que tú tienes tan cerca de tu corazón que a lo que tú te aferras? Puede ser un sueño, una meta, un trabajo, una persona.
Right? Is it your family? What is it that you hold so closely to that you're like, God, sometimes you can't even have this?
¿Cuál es la cosa que a lo mejor tú te aferras tan fuerte a ello que tú hasta a veces dices, Dios, hasta a lo mejor no te doy esto?
And this is the tone, this is the tenor of the text that we read today.
Y este es el tono del texto que leemos en esta noche.
Right, Abraham, who had been wanting a son for years, all his life, all he ever wanted was his own son, was his own kid.
Abraham, que había querido un hijo toda su vida, su único hijo que había esperado por él toda su vida.
Finally, he gets it, right?
Finalmente lo agarra.
And then God asks him to sacrifice his son.
Y luego Dios le pide que lo sacrifique.
And what's interesting to me, what made me stop at this passage and look into it.
Y lo que es interesante para mí que me hizo detenerme en este pasaje.
Is because I was looking up, when is the first time that worship is ever mentioned in the Bible?
Me puse a pensar, ¿cuál es la primera vez que la palabra adoración es mencionada en la Biblia?
This story is the first time in the Bible that worship is mentioned.
Esta historia es la primera vez en la Biblia donde la palabra adoración es mencionada.
And so when you're studying God's word, you have to live by the law of first mention.
Entonces, cuando tú estudias la Biblia, tú tienes que vivir por la ley del primer mencionar.
Basically meaning that, hey, the first time you read the word in the Bible, you use that as a basis to gauge the definition for the rest of the times it's being used.
Básicamente, la primera vez que tú escuchas una palabra en la Biblia, tú usas esa definición como una base para el resto de las palabras que se usan en la Biblia.
And in this first mention of worship, there is no song, there's no band, there's no camera, there's no microphones.
Ni en este primer mención de esta palabra, no hay una banda, no hay cámaras, no hay micrófonos, no hay sonido.
No one is singing on key or off key. There's no stage. There's no nothing.
Nadie está tonado, afinado. Nadie está desafinado. No hay plataforma. No hay nada.
The first time we hear the word worship, it involves this really old man and his son on their way up a mountain.
La primera vez que vemos esta palabra de adoración involucra a un hombre viejo.
And this is a weird story.
Escalando una montaña. Y esta es una historia rara.
It's a weird story because it's kind of hard to justify this story.
Y es una historia rara porque es un poco difícil justificar esta historia.
Right, God asking you to sacrifice your son as a burnt offering. That's weird. Let's just be honest.
Dios pidiéndote que tú sacrifiques a tu único hijo como un sacrificio a él. Es un poco raro.
Right, because it's one thing.
Porque es una cosa.
When the enemy is tempting you or telling you to do something bad.
Cuando el enemigo te está tentando a hacer algo malo.
Right, if Satan would have been tempting Abraham, kill your son, burn him as a sacrifice to God, blah, blah, blah.
Si el enemigo estuviera tentando a Abraham diciéndole, sacrifica a tu hijo, mátalo.
We'd all know what to do, right? We'd be like, Abraham, rebuke him, right? Intercede for your son, pray, call on God, right?
Todos sabemos qué debería de hacer. Abraham, repréndelo, tú intercede por tu hijo, habla con Dios.
But it's different because there's no mention of Satan in this story whatsoever. Satan does not make an appearance.
Pero es diferente porque en esta historia no hay ninguna mención de Satanás. Él no hace una apariencia aquí.
Right? It's weird because God is the one telling him to do this very weird, abominable thing.
Es raro porque Dios es el que le está diciendo para hacer esta cosa que es tan fea.
God himself is
Dios
asking him to do this.
Le está pidiendo hacer esto.
God himself is telling Abraham to do this.
Dios mismo le está diciendo a Abraham que él haga esto.
So it can be kind of weird for us as Christians, right, who follow this God, to be like, God, that's, That's a stretch there.
Y sería un poco raro nosotros como cristianos decirle seguir a este Dios. Dios es un poco extremo.
Right, and it reminded me of Jesus in the New Testament.
Y me recuerda de Jesús en el Nuevo Testamento.
There's a difference between fighting Satan's temptations and dealing with God's tests.
Hay una diferencia entre pelear contra las tentaciones de Satanás y también lidiar con las pruebas que Dios que nos da.
Right, so Jesus, when he was in the wilderness after he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights.
Jesús cuando él estaba en el desierto mientras él ayunaba por 40 días, 40 noches.
After he fasted, he was tempted by Satan himself, saying, "Turn these stones into bread. You're hungry."
Después de que él ayunó, Satanás le dijo, "Haz esto, estas piedras, hazlas en comida porque tú tienes hambre."
And every time Jesus was tempted by Satan, he always responded with the word of God, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that flows out of the mouth of God." Right?
Y cada vez que Satanás lo tentaba, Jesús le respondía con la palabra de Dios.
However, fast forward to when Jesus is in the garden, he's about to get arrested and be crucified.
Pero nos adelantamos al jardín cuando Jesús está a punto de estar arrestado para ser crucificado.
Right, he's about to sacrifice his life for everyone in this room.
Él está a punto de sacrificar su vida por todas las personas que se encuentran ahí.
God the Father is sacrificing his son and Jesus is sweating blood, asking him to take this cup, take this burden away from him.
Dios el Padre está sacrificando a su hijo y el hijo está pidiendo y está sudando sangre diciendo que Dios quite esta copa de él.
God is saying, "It's my will for you to go on that cross. It's my will for you to sacrifice your life," right? What do? You can't pray that away.
Dios está diciendo, es mi voluntad que tú vayas y mueras en esa cruz.
You can't pray away God's test. You can't pray, you can pray Satan away, right? But you can't pray what God wants you to do away. What do in situations like that?
Tú puedes orar para que Satanás huya de ti, pero tú no puedes orar para que Dios quite su voluntad de ti. ¿Qué haces en esta situación?
And if you're Abraham, you're like, okay, I can't pray this away. God is the one asking me to do this.
Y si tú eres Abraham, tú sabes, bueno, pues yo no puedo pedir que Dios quite esto porque Dios es el que me está mandando.
Which you can ask as Abraham, which I would ask is like, God, why now?
Lo que tú puedes preguntar, así como Abraham, es decir, Dios, ¿por qué ahora?
Why right now in my life? Why do you choose to give me this test right now?
¿Por qué ahora? ¿Por qué escoges tú darme esta prueba ahora?
There wasn't a better timing or better situation you could have tested me in.
No había un mejor tiempo, una mejor hora para tú darme esta prueba.
You had to wait till I'm 100 years old, till I finally get the promise that I've been waiting for years.
Tenías que esperar hasta que yo tuviera 100 años, hasta que yo pude al final agarrar esta promesa.
You had to wait till my son is old enough to talk and walk and develop a connection. Now you're deciding to test me on this.
Tenías tú que esperarte hasta que mi hijo ya podía mantener una relación conmigo. Ahora me quieres poner a prueba.
Why now?
¿Por qué ahora?
Right, and this is Abraham's final exam.
Y esto es el examen final de Abraham.
But let's be clear.
Pero seamos claros.
God never tempts you, but he will test you.
Dios nunca te tienta, pero sí te va a poner a prueba.
And just like it would be unfair.
Y así como no sería justo.
Just like it would be unfair for a teacher.
Así como no sería justo para un maestro o una maestra.
On the very first day of school to give you this 100-question exam.
El primer día de que tú entras a la escuela, que él te dé un examen de 100 preguntas.
God will never test you on information that he hasn't communicated to you yet.
Dios nunca te va a poner a prueba con información que tú ya no sabes.
That's why the first day of school is so fun, right? You're like, oh, no tests, no assignments. You're picking out your new clothes that you got over the summer, what to wear. That's the biggest concern.
Por eso el primer día de la escuela siempre es el más divertido porque no tienes ninguna prueba, tú no tienes ningún examen, nada así.
But you don't have to worry about tests or big assignments like that on the first day.
No tienes que preocuparte por un examen o grandes tareas en el primer día.
Right? It would be unfair, but fast forward maybe 3 or 4 weeks.
No sería justo, pero si nos adelantamos unas 3-4 semanas.
Now, right? Ahora, now the teacher can test you. Now the teacher can test you on what they've been lecturing on, what the assignments have been on. Now you're like, okay. A test seems fair.
Ahora la maestra te puede poner a prueba, te puede dar un examen de lo que se trataba las lecturas o lo que estaban leyendo.
It's about that time, right? I feel prepared for it, right? The teacher gave me some lectures, some assignments. He's given me the information. Okay, it's about that time.
Ahora ya es justo porque ya es llega ese tiempo donde a lo mejor ya tenía que yo ponerme este examen para yo poder saber el material.
Same thing with God, right? The next time you find yourself in a test that you know it's not Satan tempting you, It's God testing you.
Igual cuando tú te encuentras en una prueba que sabes que no es Satanás tentándote, sino que es Dios poniéndote a prueba.
Take comfort in the fact that he wouldn't be testing you if he hadn't already imparted something in you to pass this test. He wouldn't be testing you if he didn't already go over this and given you what you need to pass.
Ten paz al saber que Dios no te daría esta prueba si no te hubiera dado ya la información que tú tienes que tener, la inteligencia que tú tenías que tener para poder pasar esta prueba.
Now, just like in school, if you choose not to study for the test, if you choose not to prepare for the test, and you fail, hey, that's on you.
Y así como en la escuela, si tú decides no prepararte y no estudiar para la prueba y tú repruebas, entonces eso ya es en ti.
And you can fail some of God's tests, right? If you go back through Abraham's life, he failed a couple tests from God.
Y tú sí puedes reprobar pruebas de parte de Dios. Si tú ves la vida de Abraham, él reprobó muchas pruebas.
But just know that if God is testing you, he has given you all you need to pass. It's just a matter of you being aware of it. It's a matter of you being aware of, hey, God's already given me this. I just need to use it.
Pero sé que si Dios me está dando esto es porque él ya me ha dado la información, la capacidad, lo que yo necesito para yo poder pasarlo.
Don't get discouraged, don't get down, say, okay, God, if you're putting me through this, if you're testing me in my finances, if you're testing me in my patience.
No te frustres, no te molestes, porque si Dios te está poniendo a prueba, tú di, Dios, si tú me estás probando con mis finanzas, si tú me estás probando con mis relaciones.
If you're testing me with my family, if you're testing me with my grades, if you're testing me with these people, you must have already given me what I need to pass the test. I just have to use it. I have to put it into action.
Si me estás probando con mi familia, con mis amigos, con mi educación, con lo que sea, ya Dios, tú me has dado la información para yo poder pasarla.
And you can save yourself a lot of prayers by going, oh, I rebuke you, Satan, I rebuke this, I rebuke that, and trying to tempt me, when it's like, no, it's not Satan, it's God testing you. You can't rebuke that. There's no escaping that. You have to either pass or fail this test.
Y tú puedes salvarte muchas oraciones en decir, Satanás, huídete de mí, no. Pero si tú ya sabes que es Dios, tú solamente tienes que pasar esta prueba.
But take heart, God has given you what you need.
Pero ten ánimo, Dios ya te ha dado lo que tú necesitas.
And what I love about Abraham in this story.
Y lo que me encanta de Abraham en esta historia.
Is that he finally had the dream come true.
Es que él finalmente pudo ver el sueño realidad.
Finally, after years of waiting, he finally had his son.
Finalmente, después de años de esperar, él finalmente tuvo a su hijo.
And there's nothing like finally getting something you've been waiting for a long time, whether it's from God, whether it's for Christmas, whether it's your birthday, whatever it may be. There's nothing like finally seeing God's will come to pass.
Y no hay nada como finalmente ver lo que tú soñabas una realidad, ya sea de parte de Dios, en la Navidad, un regalo, lo que sea. No hay nada como ver la voluntad de Dios cumplida en tu vida.
But this final test, God was like, well, we're going to see if you love the promise or the promise giver more.
Pero en esta prueba final íbamos a ver de parte de Dios, a ver si él amaba más a la promesa o al que dio la promesa.
Are you more in love with the blessing or are you more in love with the blesser?
¿Estás más enamorado con la bendición o con el que dio la bendición?
And so God, he tells Abraham, okay, we're gonna put this to the test. We're gonna put everything you've learned to the test, Abraham.
Entonces Dios le dice a Abraham, okay, vamos a poner todo lo que tú has aprendido a prueba.
So what I want you to do, Abraham, I want you to go up to Mount Moriah and I want you to sacrifice your son as a burnt offering to me.
Entonces quiero que tú, Abraham, subas al Monte Moriah y que tú vayas y tú sacrifiques a tu hijo como un sacrificio ante mí.
And what I love about Abraham and why he was such a great man of God.
Y lo que amo de Abraham, que lo hizo un gran hombre de Dios.
Is the Bible says that the next morning, early in the morning.
Es que la Biblia dice que la siguiente mañana, temprano en la mañana.
Abraham sets out on this journey with his son. Immediate obedience is what Abraham's response is.
Abraham sube inmediatamente a su hijo en esta jornada. Inmediatamente fue su obediencia.
Right? A lot of us in here, we get a word we don't like from God. We get a commandment we don't like from God. We get a test that we don't like from God.
Muchos de nosotros recibimos una prueba, una orden, algo de parte de Dios que no nos gusta.
We normally are a little slow to respond. We're like, okay, God, well, you know, I'll get to that tomorrow. I'll get to that next week. I'll get to that eventually.
Normalmente estamos lentos en responder. Decimos, Dios, ¿sabes qué? Lo hago mañana, la próxima semana.
But I'm not going to do that right now.
No voy a hacer eso ahora.
It's a little inconvenient right now.
No me conviene ahora.
Right? So what I want us to say is that slow obedience is still disobedience.
Lo que quiero que entendamos es que obediencia lenta, como quiera, es desobediencia.
Like we talked about last week, that entitlement attitude.
como hablamos la semana pasada, ese sentimiento, esa actitud, como que tú tienes un derecho.
What made Abraham so successful in his walk?
¿Qué es lo que hizo a Abraham tan exitoso en su jornada?
Was that he didn't need understanding of God's directions before he obeyed.
Es que él no ocupaba un entendimiento de las direcciones de parte de Dios para él poder obedecer.
And he goes, God, okay, it doesn't make sense. I don't understand why you'd tell me to sacrifice the son that you said you blessed me with.
Él dice, ¿sabes qué, Dios? A lo mejor yo no entiendo por qué tú me dijiste poder tener que sacrificar a mi hijo que tú me habías dado.
But God, I'm not entitled to the understanding. God, I'm not entitled to understand this through and through. I'm just going to obey and do what you told me to.
Pero Dios, yo no tengo un derecho al saber por qué, al entenderlo. Yo solamente voy a hacer lo que tú me has dicho.
And a lot of us stall in our relationship with God because we're too busy waiting for the understanding before we're obedient. When that's not going to come, that's not how it works in
God's
kingdom.
Y muchos de nosotros nos estancamos en nuestra relación con Dios porque estamos esperando a que Él traiga entendimiento cuando eso no va a suceder.
In God's kingdom, you get understanding by just being obedient. You may not get it right off the bat. You have to start moving.
En el reino de Dios, tú obtienes entendimiento al tú empezar, a tú obedecer, a tú comenzar a moverte.
You have to start being obedient first, and then you get the understanding. Oh, okay, God, now I see why you told me this. Now I see why you told me to move here. Now I see why this and that.
Tienes que obedecer, tienes que empezar a moverte para tú poder entender, ah, Dios, ya sé por qué tú me dijiste eso, ya sé por qué tú me ordenaste esto.
And so the test that Abraham had to pass over and over and over again.
Entonces la prueba que Abraham tenía que pasar una y otra vez.
And the test that each and every one of us are going to have to pass over and over and over again in our lives.
Y la prueba que nosotros vamos a tener que pasar una y otra vez.
Is the test of obedience.
Es la prueba de la obediencia.
The test of obeying God.
La prueba de obedecer a Dios.
And the part that got me, the part that impressed me so much.
Y la parte que me impresionó tanto.
Was that Abraham knows that God just asked me to sacrifice my son. God just asked me to kill my son on this altar.
Es que Abraham sabe, Dios me acaba de decir que yo sacrifique y mate a mi hijo aquí en este altar.
Yet,
pero,
when he tells his servants, he says, hey, stay here with the donkey. Me and my son are going to go worship, but we will be back.
Le dice a sus criados, a sus sirvientes, ustedes quédense aquí con el asno. Yo y mi hijo vamos a subir la montaña y vamos a adorar.
Right? If he really was thinking straight, he'd be like, oh, we're going to go worship, but then I'll be back, right? Because God just told me to sacrifice my son.
Y él dijo, y vamos a regresar los dos. Si realmente entendía lo que Dios le estaba diciendo, él le hubiera dicho, yo voy a subirme y yo mismo solo voy a regresar.
This is the faith that Abraham had because of his history with God.
Esta es la fe que tenía Abraham por su historia con Dios.
I don't understand, God, how you do things, but I know my history. You've done miracles before. You've met the need before. You've provided before.
Yo no entiendo, Dios, a veces como tú estás haciendo las cosas, pero tú has proveído antes, tú, Señor, lo has hecho antes, has hecho el milagro antes.
Abraham can reflect on so many instances where God protected for them, God provided for them, God sustained them, God blessed them.
Abraham puede reflejar en tantos instantes donde Dios los proveó para ellos, donde Dios estuvo ahí para ellos, donde Dios los bendició.
So when it came to this, he was like, God, I don't understand it, I don't know how he's going to live, I don't know why you're asking me to do this, but all I know is that you're going to work the miracle. You're going to resurrect him if you need to.
Abraham a lo mejor dijo, Dios, yo no entiendo cómo tú lo vas a hacer. No sé cómo lo que tú estás haciendo. Pero Dios, yo sé que tú vas a hacer un milagro. Vamos a estar bien.
So all that to say, rely on your history with God. What has God done for you in the past?
Todo esto para decir, depende en tu historia con Dios. ¿Qué ha hecho Dios contigo en el pasado?
God has sustained you. God has protected you. God has provided for you. God has healed you.
Dios te ha sostenido. Él te ha protegido. Él ha estado ahí para ti. Él ha estado. Él ha proveído para ti.
God has blessed you.
Dios te ha bendecido.
God has never let you down.
Dios nunca te ha decepcionado.
God has never left you.
Dios nunca te ha dejado.
God has never not listened to you. God has never not sustained you.
Dios nunca no te ha escuchado. Dios nunca no te ha sostenido.
So it makes it easier that even when you don't understand, Abraham, I don't understand this, but because of my history, you've provided in miraculous ways before. I don't know how you're going to do this one, God, but I know he's going to live somehow.
Entonces para Abraham era fácil. Dios, yo no sé cómo tú vas a hacer esto, pero yo sé que él va a vivir de una forma o la otra.
And it's not just me talking crazy. There's proof for this in the text.
Y no solamente soy yo hablando, hay prueba de esto en el texto.
Hebrews 11:17 says this in the New Testament.
Hebreos 11:17 dice esto en el Nuevo Testamento.
Paul is saying this about Abraham in the Old Testament. He says this.
Pablo está diciendo esto sobre Abraham en el Nuevo Testamento.
He says, by faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned, he thought, that God could even raise the dead. And in so a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death.
Dice Hebreos 11:17-19, fue por la fe Abraham, quien había recibido las promesas, fue puesto a prueba y ofreció a Isaac, su hijo único, a pesar de que Dios le había dicho, tu descendencia se establecerá por medio de Isaac. Consideraba Abraham que Dios tenía el poder hasta para resucitar a los muertos. En sentido figurado, recobró a Isaac de entre los muertos.
You guys can go ahead and stand.
Pueden ponerse sobre sus pies.
And so the whole point of tonight's sermon, the whole reason we're talking about this,
del sermón de esto, la razón por qué estamos hablando de esto,
is because when we're talking about worship,
estamos hablando de la adoración.
You haven't really worshipped God in your life.
No has adorado a Dios con tu vida.
Unless you've been obedient with your life to Him.
Si tú no has sido obediente con tu vida.
You can't call yourself a worshiper of God just because you sing.
No puedes llamarte un adorador de Dios solamente porque tú cantas.
The full definition of worship.
La definición completa de la adoración.
Is obedience.
Es obediencia.
It's obedience, and you're going to have to pass, and you're going to have to worship God again and again and again in every season of your life.
Es la obediencia, y tú vas a tener que adorar a Dios una y otra vez en tu vida.
You pass one test in this season, awesome. You move on to the next one. Obedience is something you're going to have to practice worshiping the rest of your life.
Tú pasas una prueba, okay, está bien, pero la obediencia será algo que tú vas a tener que practicar el resto de tu vida.
It's the finals week that never ends.
Es el examen final que nunca se termina.
It's never ending.
Nunca se termina.
The song may end on Sunday, the song may end after altar call, but your obedience to God will never end.
El canto a lo mejor se termina el domingo, el canto a lo mejor se termina después del tiempo de altar, pero a Dios nunca termina.
And after Abraham is about to slay his son, God stops him and says, "Don't do that. Now I know you really fear me."
Después de que Abraham está a punto de sacrificar a su hijo, Dios lo detiene y le dice, "No, no lo hagas. Yo sé que ahora tú realmente me amas."
And God's not talking about like you fear me, like you're afraid of me. God's saying, "Now I know you fear me," in terms of I know I am the most important thing in your life.
Y Dios le dice, "Yo sé que ahora me temes." Y no le está diciendo temes como que si le tiene miedo, sino que él sabe que él es la prioridad en su vida.
Now I know I'm the most important thing in your life. Not your son, ahora, not your boyfriend, not your girlfriend, not your job, not your money, not your bank account.
Ahora yo sé que yo soy la parte más importante de tu vida. No tu trabajo, no tu hijo, no tu familia, no tu novio, no tu novia, no tu trabajo, no tu dinero, lo que sea.
Not anything else. Now I know you fear me, Abraham.
Ninguna otra cosa en tu vida. Ahora yo sé, Abraham, que realmente me temes.
And so for tonight,
entonces esta noche,
I have been challenged with obedience.
Yo he sido desafiado con la obediencia.
I've been challenged of worshiping God with how obedient I am.
Yo he sido desafiado en adorar a Dios con mi obediencia.
And what's really been most difficult for me to deal with.
Y lo que ha sido tan difícil para mí poder manejar.
It's like, God, I've been obedient to you. I've gone where you've got me to go. I've done what you want me to do.
Es Dios, yo he sido obediente. Yo he ido donde tú me has dicho ir. Yo he hecho lo que tú me has dicho ser.
But like Abraham, or unlike Abraham, I should say.
Pero como Abraham, o como, no como Abraham, debería decir.
A lot of times I find myself slow to respond to the test.
Muchas de las veces me encuentro yo lento para responder a la prueba.
A lot of times I don't understand why I'm being tested, so I'm waiting for the understanding. I find myself in Abraham's shoes. It's like, God, I don't understand this.
Muchas de las veces me encuentro diciendo, Dios, yo no entiendo esto, no entiendo la prueba.
And so I want to challenge us tonight, because some of us, you're being tested and you don't understand why you're being tested. You don't understand why God is throwing this your way.
Muchos de ustedes a lo mejor piensan, no saben por qué están siendo puestos a prueba, no saben por qué a lo mejor Dios los está probando de esta manera.
And you're waiting to be obedient until you get the understanding, and it's just not going to happen.
Y están esperando ser obedientes hasta que agarren el entendimiento, y no va a suceder así.
It's just not going to happen. You're not going to get the understanding of the test until you start being obedient.
No será así, no vas a tú poder agarrar el entendimiento hasta que tú comiences a ser obediente.
You can save yourself a lot of time, you can save yourself a lot of confusion, you can save yourself a lot of frustration by just saying, "Okay, God, I'm not entitled to the understanding, let me just take a step."
Puedes tú ahorrarte tanta frustración, confusión, tiempo, si tú dices, "Dios, no voy a entender, pero voy a obedecer."
So with your heads bowed and eyes closed.
Entonces con sus ojos inclinados y sus ojos cerrados y rostros inclinados.
I just want to pray for you.
Quiero orar por ustedes.
I want to pray for you.
Quiero orar por ustedes.
Corporately, and then I want to open up the altars.
De forma general y luego quiero abrir el altar.
Because a lot of us in here, we sometimes just through the routine we get used to just worshiping and coming to church, but really how we live our lives Monday through Saturday.
Porque muchos de nosotros nos acostumbramos tanto a venir y adorar a Dios aquí en la iglesia, pero como vivimos nuestras vidas de lunes a viernes.
It isn't worshiping God.
No está adorando a Dios.
Some of you guys have been slow to respond.
Algunos de ustedes han sido lentos en responder.
Some of you guys, you know God has been asking you to sacrifice some things and you just straight up haven't been willing to.
Algunos saben que Dios les está pidiendo sacrificar algunas cosas, pero no han sido dispuestos a hacerlo.
Some of you guys know you're being tested by God and you're getting frustrated, but some of you need to remember God's giving you everything you need to pass this test.
Algunos están frustrados, quieren el entendimiento, pero Dios ya te ha dado todo lo que necesitas para tú poder pasar esta prueba.
So God, I lift up our youth, God. I lift up anybody in here that needs to respond with obedience. Anybody in here that's needing to respond with an obedient heart to you. That Lord God, they may be worshiping you with how they sing. They may be worshiping you with how they read their word. But God, they haven't been worshiping you with their obedience. They haven't been worshiping you with how they make decisions and how they interact with people and the situations they put themselves in, the situations that they keep themselves from. God, they haven't been living in worship. They haven't been continually and sustaining that level of worship that God, once the song ends, their obedience ends. God, once the song ends, God, they're not taking the test anymore. So God, if there's people in here, God, that have been slow to respond, if there's people in here that have refused to let go of that which they hold so close to their hearts, like Abraham held Isaac so close to his heart, he loved him with everything that he had, whether it's a relationship, whether it's a job, whether it's an expectations of themselves, whether it's standards, God, whatever it may be, whether it's money, whether it's popularity, whether it's social, whatever it may be, God, whatever they have been holding so close that you've been asking them to release, God, I pray that they would release it tonight. And Lord, they would give it to you, that Lord God, they'd find that living in obedience is so much better than living in waiting for understanding. That God, some of us have been slow to respond because we're waiting to understand it. We're waiting to make it make sense, God, on why you're testing us, on why you're wanting us to do what you want us to do. But God, we're never gonna get it. We gotta step out in obedience first. We're not entitled to anything. We're not entitled to the instructions. We're not entitled to the understanding, God. We're only entitled to worship you through obedience in everything that we do. And God, I pray that it would get in our hearts and our minds that God, it's gonna continue to happen the rest of our lives. Us worshiping you through obedience. Obedience in who we marry. Obedience, God, in who we're nice to. Obedience, God, in showing kindness and generosity. Obedience, God, in moving where you want us to move. Obedience, God, in being generous to who you want us to be generous to. Obedience, God, in serving where you want us to serve. Obedience in every aspect of our life. It's the song that never ends. It's this worship that never ends, God. It's obedience. So, God, I pray that Lord, your spirit would move in us in such a way, God, that we have humbled ourselves to say, God, I don't need the understanding. I'm just going to be obedient immediately. I'm not going to wait for a week. I'm not going to wait another month. I'm not going to wait to the end of this year. I'm going to be obedient immediately.